You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Hello, one and all. Welcome along to the Punt podcast here with William Hill ahead of another Premier League weekend. Dave Kellner joined by Tom Kerwin and Derek McGovern, as per usual, on the podcast to go through the 10 matches this weekend. First of all, a warm welcome to Mr. Derek McGovern. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. I need a good win this weekend to make up for my Cheltenham losses this week. And I said last week I wasn't going to go, but I went one day early this week, and I made the schoolboy error of taking my credit card to the meeting. Oh. I should have taken someone else's. Obviously, it was not a great day. Not a great day.
I think we're all feeling that sort of pain 3 days in. Derek, Tom, how's your week been?
Less said about Cheltenham, probably the better. That's why I'm looking forward to getting stuck into what I truly know about, rather than just hearing wild tips from people I know for horses I've never heard.
You get them from me in this podcast.
Correct. It's not going to make any difference to my week, is it? No changes.
Let's hope a punt treble lands this week, because the followers of the punt treble are driving to the nearest bridge at the moment, chaps. So let's hope we get a punt treble in this week. We start the weekend with West Brom versus Arsenal, and West Brom are 4-1 to win the match. The draw 14-5 with Arsenal in the market at 8-11. Enhanced odds, Salomon Rondon to score and West Brom to win was 13-2, now 8-1. And Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win was 8-5. That's now 2-1. Arsenal have lost their last three of their last four in the Premier League now. And even though they beat Lincoln comprehensively enough in the Cup last weekend, they were lackluster in that first half, Tom. But the problem is, if you want to take them on here, they're playing a West Brom side who, albeit we've sung the praises of Tony Pulis this season and his leadership of the team, they've checked out in their last 2 weeks against Crystal Palace and Everton, and their season is basically over. They're not going up, they're not going down.
And that's the concern for me. I so wish this fixture had taken place maybe sort of 3-4 weeks ago, while Arsenal was still in the kind of form that they're in right now, and West Brom were doing a lot better. That's kind of the worry, I think, when you overachieve as a team like Tony Pulis has had, and we've talked about him enough this season. He's done brilliantly to get to the points that they're at now, and that they are safe. But that is it now. The season is effectively over, and it's where do West Brom go from here? And I'm talking sort of longer term. But this is a different kind of match. This is one at home. It's the first game of the weekend of the Premier League matches, and they're taking on, I'd say, a wounded animal, but it's far worse than that for Arsenal. I mean, this is a team that lost 5 of the last 8 games, 3 in the last 4 in the Premier League, as you say. They've got absolutely no form, no confidence. Even one of the players who, I believe, and from what I've seen, has at least been able to sort of keep his head held high, Theo Walcott, even he's been dropped from the England squad this week. He's kind of been feeling the effects of being part of this shambles at Arsenal. And I don't see it getting any better for them here. My only issue is West Brom, as you say. Now, they lost the last 2 games. They haven't scored. Well beaten by Everton and well beaten by Palace at home. But I do think this kind of match, and they've proved it already this season, West Brom at home, they can be a force. They can score goals. And I think they'll be licking the lips at the prospect of Arsenal. 4-1. For me, against this Arsenal side, against a decent Premier League outfit in West Brom, certainly an organised team, a team that aren't going to give them many chances, I'm on board with this all day long. I spy a big priced upset in the first game of the weekend, because you cannot be back in Arsenal.
4-1 West Brom for Tom. Derek, are you licking your lips at the prospect of getting West Brom at 4-1?
Well, I opposed them last week at Everton, because the week before at Palace, they gave every sign that they had the flip-flops on. Tony Pulis is not a man you'd expect to wear flip-flops. He's more your sandals, man. But they definitely look like that. And they followed that up at Everton. And I thought, well, that's it. I'm going to be opposing West Brom from now, between now and the end of the season. It's the easy money to be made. But then you realise that this week's visitors are Arsenal, and Pulis loves getting under Arsene Wenger's skin. And then you also realise that West Brom are 4-1. And then, everything's up in the air now, because it's too big a price, without question. The 4-1, obviously, because the bookies are thinking the same as we are. Have West Brom gone at the game for the season? But Arsenal have gone at the game for the season. I mean, their form has been diabolical. The only 3 teams they've beaten in the last 6 are Lincoln, Sutton, 2 non-league teams, and Hull, who soon will be. So, there's absolutely no reason they should be 8-11 here. West Brom have won this fixture last season 2-1, and I can see a similar scoreline now. All I know is that 4-1 baggies is way too big.
2-1 for West Brom, by the way, is available at 14-1.
I think Pulis is more of a Crocs man though than sandals.
Yeah.
Kind of a man. He's given up. He's given up on fashion. He still wears a baseball cap.
He'd have white socks as well. Yes, I wouldn't. Yeah. Without question.
Bournemouth versus Swansea is next. 5:30 kickoff on Saturday, televised. Bournemouth are 6-5 to win the game. The draw 23-10. Swansea 5-2. Enhanced odds: Josh King to score and Bournemouth to win was 23-10. Now 11-4. And Fernando Llorente to score and Swansea to win was 19-5. Now 5-1. Derek, I've got a feeling this could end 5-5 or something ridiculous like that.
You know what I've written? This could be the first ever tie-break match, a final score of 7-6. I mean, I haven't even bothered to look at what the odds are for both teams to score, because I know it would be something like 1-7, because it's inconceivable that this is going to be either side ending nil. I really don't know what to think about the fixture. I can't back Bournemouth. Just over even money. 11-10, did you say?
6-5 they are, Derek, yeah.
They're such a beatable side. And Swansea, well, I thought they were, I was going to make a few bob on Swansea, Swansea revival, but that result against Hull last week has knocked me right in the solar plexus. I wasn't expecting that. And I don't know what to think about this game. The only thing I can say is that there will be goals. Sometimes you get a match like this and goals are certain, and then it ends up 0-1 or something. You think, like Liverpool and Man City on New Year's Eve, that finished 1-0. I'm trying to get a handle on the best way to go. All I can say is over 3.5 goals looks the way to play, because this is not going to be a game low on goals.
It was 2-1 last week, Bournemouth versus West Ham. It's 2-1 this week as well, over 3.5 goals, which I really like in the game. Bournemouth versus Swansea over 3.5 at 2-1. I think that's a really solid bet. Swansea have been rejuvenated, Tom, under Paul Clement, but they lost last week away at Hull, which tempers enthusiasm for them here. Josh King has scored 3-3 against Swansea, and he's now got 9 in his last 10 for Bournemouth as well. So Josh King, 13-10, anytime could appeal to some. But Tom, this is a game which is guaranteed goals, I say, through gritted teeth.
Well, it is, because neither team defensively have tightened up enough. I mean, Paul Clement, one of the things he's done is he wasn't too worried about Swansea going forward. It was just defensively, and while they still ship goals, they're not shipping as many, and they're giving themselves more of a chance of winning matches. I mean, Swansea earlier this season under Bob Bradley, they had to score 3 and 4 goals to win a match, and even more when you look at that game against Palace. So that's kind of been where they've been. I think there's been 3 or more goals in 8 of their last 9 games. Bournemouth have conceded in their last 10 matches. And you have to look at Swansea's recent away games. They scored 3 at Liverpool, they scored at Man City, they scored at Chelsea, and they scored at Hull, which I gave them a chance of getting a result in that game. But, Hull at home are a very different animal to Hull away from home under their manager. So, they are scoring goals at some difficult places, so they will have absolutely zero concern about scoring goals against Bournemouth, and a Bournemouth team who still know they have to outscore their opponents, because they know they're going to concede 1 or 2 goals, and they have been, and they did exactly that against West Ham in the last home match. So I can't disagree with over 3.5 goals here. You can't look past somebody like Josh King, because he's had to step forward with some of the absentees they've had, in particular Callum Wilson, and Swansea still have players in form, Llorente, Sigurdsson. I read that stat this week that Gylfi Sigurdsson had covered more distance this season in the Premier League than any other player. That's quite remarkable, considering some of the players that are in the top flight, but it shows how important he is. So, there's goal scorers in form, and there's two defences that like to concede a goal. The other bet I quite like in this one, and it's the kind of match where I think we're going to get an outcome either way. We're going to get a winning outcome for one of these sides, but they both score no draw at 11-8. I can see one side or another going over the line, because at the moment, although Swansea might think, there might be some Swansea fans who think, actually a point is not a bad result, I don't think they'll approach. I think they'll say, hey, we can score 2 and 3 goals, and that might be enough to win the game. It might not be, but I don't mind the both score no draw at 11-8, but without a doubt, 2-1 over 3.5 goals is good value.
On to Sunday's televised games, and we'll start with Middlesbrough versus Manchester United. Midday on Sunday, this one, and Borough are 9-2 to win it. The draw is 5-2, with Manchester United 3-4. Enhanced odds: Alvaro Negredo to score and Borough to win was 10-1, now 14s. Henrik Mkhitaryan to score and Manchester United to win was 9-4, now 3-1. Aitor Karanka sacked yesterday, Tom, and some might say it was an inevitability. Middlesbrough only scored 19 goals in 27 games this season, which is the lowest in the competition, without a win in 10 in the Premier League as well. They look like they were doomed with Karanka at the helm. Tom, do you think there'll be a reaction to him going or not?
I'm not too sure. I get a feeling this has all happened too late for Middlesbrough. And, you know, we've talked about this situation quite a bit with Middlesbrough and the loyalty that Steve Gibson shows to his managers. And that has been one of his big strengths. When people talk about owners in the Premier League, most people would put Steve Gibson right up in the top four or five because of that loyalty, because he's got quite a calm head the way he runs things. But I actually think it's been his downfall in this situation. Karanka should have been under more pressure and should have been facing maybe a more difficult examination from the board months ago. I mean, he had a pop at the board during the January transfer window for trying to sign Championship players. He had a pop at the fans for having a go about the football that they played. You know, when they're paying a hard-earned money to buy season tickets and having very little entertainment. I mean, most Middlesbrough fans that I know would prefer to die trying. You know, they want to give it a go and have some entertainment. If they go down, so be it. But at least they're going to get some entertainment for the money they're forking out. And I just think it's too late now. I really do. I can't see anybody coming in and completely changing it. I think Middlesbrough have been set in their ways under Karanka for 3 years. He did it straight away when he came to the Championship. All he did was focus on clean sheets, clean sheets, clean sheets. And they did it brilliantly. It got them to the Premier League. But I think ultimately it's going to see them go down. And I still see them being sort of defensively sound. They're not going to get, you know, anyone in time for this game, and even if they do, they're not going to have a dramatic impact on it. So Middlesbrough for me are going to have to play the same way that they have been playing. I don't see it changing too much because they still don't have the personnel. People talk about systems, but Middlesbrough do not have the attacking players to cause major problems. Now they'll want the shackles off, and I think they'll be delighted whoever comes in will probably do that, but I don't think it's going to make a difference here against the Manchester United side, who, you know, I've been a bit critical of their form. I'm not buying that they are some wonderful team under Jose Mourinho at the moment, but these are the kind of matches they've been kind of gobbling up. They've struggled more at home actually against teams like Middlesbrough, but I think away from home they shouldn't have a problem here. I don't expect there to be lots of goals in it, and even Karanka's departure from the Riverside doesn't change my mind on this one. So you know, I think Manchester United will win. Who are, you know, looking at their recent matches, you know, Rostov, they kind of laboured to it a little bit. Chelsea last week, you know, the sending off obviously changed things. But, I thought tactically Mourinho had it spot on. I think he knows that one goal will probably do the job here. So, unlike previous matches or other games this weekend, I'm going for low on goals here. And I'll take a Manchester United win and under 2.5 goals at 9-4. I think 1-0 or 2-0 does it for the Red Devils.
Manchester United to win the game 1-0 is 5-1. Manchester United 2-0 in the betting at 13-2. Derek, Paul Pogba won't be available for this game. Neither will Zlatan Ibrahimovic. That might not be the Pogba being out might not be a bad thing for Manchester United, though, Derek.
No, he hasn't. I mean, I gave him such a big billing earlier in the season.
I knew he was going to be a flop, Derek, when you went big on him.
I know, I can't believe it. He must have just been thinking it was so easy. Everything has come so easy to him wherever he's been in his career. And maybe the Premier League competitiveness has surprised him. I don't know. But there's a lot more to come from him, without a doubt. This Middlesbrough, Jesus, doesn't matter who takes over. You know, if I'm ever put before a firing squad, I hope the Middlesbrough strikers are in it, because their goal-scoring record this season is absolutely diabolical. The last six games, the only team they've scored against is Oxford. I mean, how are they going to score against Man United? What Tom says about United's setup here will be right. Mourinho knows that, you know, they can just play safe, but, you know, don't give anything away. Middlesbrough won't threaten, and they'll make a goal on the break somewhere, Anthony Martial or Rashford. 8-5 United to win 2-0, and I think that looks absolutely nailed on. I know that United have been busy, you know, Mourinho still complaining about the fixture pile-up, but Jesus Christ, he spent like £4 zillion in the transfer window last summer, so he should have enough, you know, a deep enough squad to accommodate those kind of fixtures. They'll win this. I think probably Karanka's going will improve Middlesbrough's chances of staying up, because one or two of the comments from the Middlesbrough players suggest that they've been unhappy with having the straitjacket on, the shackles on. They'll play with a little bit more freedom, but it doesn't matter. If they play with a bit more freedom against Man United, it will probably suit Man United. So, yeah, there's only one winner here. I'm surprised United are as big as 3-4, but I'll play a little bit more intrepidly and go 8-5 to win 2-0.
Very good. Tottenham versus Southampton, Sunday 2:15 kickoff here. Tottenham 8-11 to win the match. The draw is 13-5 with Southampton 9-2. Enhanced odds: Dele Alli to score and Spurs to win was 17-10 now 2-1, and Manolo Gabbiadini to score and Southampton to win was 13-2. That's been enhanced to 8-1. Intriguing match this one, Derek. Mauricio Pochettino has lost just one of his five Premier League games against his former team Southampton, but that did come in the last meeting at White Hart Lane back in May 2016. And Southampton have found something with Gabbiadini. They've been scoring freely. They've got 10 in their last three now. But Spurs at home, they've got 15 goals in their last four games at White Hart Lane. So two teams scoring plenty of goals at the moment, Derek.
And in the reverse fixture just after Christmas, finished 4-1 to Tottenham. That was a great result for them. After, I think they absolutely pulverised Southampton that day. Southampton's form in recent weeks has surprised me, because I thought after the League Cup final, they'd give up the ghost, because there's nothing at stake for them in the league. But they've had some great results. That said, they've only beaten Sunderland and Watford, you know, matches they'd expect to win. Tottenham at White Hart Lane is an entirely different proposition, particularly this season. I tell you what, it shows you how good Tottenham's home form is this season. That they're in second place, and the biggest challenge is to Chelsea, despite winning only four games away from home. That's shocking, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, West Ham have won four away from home. Southampton have won four away from home. And yet Tottenham are up there. That shows you how impressive their home record is, and they'll win this. I'm surprised, you know. Did you say 8-11?
Yeah, 8-11,
yeah,
Derek. Yeah.
I think that's a big price. So with the form they're in right now, every time they go forward at the moment, Tottenham, they look like scoring. And I expect them to win this convincingly. I really do. I think this could be like a 3-4-1 win for Tottenham.
Spurs, confident bet for Derek. Tom, your thoughts?
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. I mean, you know, the one thing Southampton have had is they've just not had many games, have they, recently? I mean, they were out of action last weekend, of course, and, you know, before that, they had a good win. But, you know, I look at the kind of overall form. You know, two wins and four defeats in their last six games in all competitions as well. They've won three and lost six of their last nine games in the Premier League, and they've only won three of their last 11 on the road. So, you know, away from home, they're not a team I want to be backing. They're a team that potentially could cause certain sides problems, but I can't see them causing this Tottenham team problems, who will keep them at arm's length in this match. You know, if they give a chance to Gabbiadini, that's obviously what they've got now. Because we talked about them earlier this season, and, you know, they were built on their defence and going forward. You know, Charlie Austin had a little run, but then he's got injured as he normally does. And then where were they going to get the goals from? And they've certainly found a poacher who I think would probably get in the Spurs team tomorrow, you know, given the fact that Harry Kane's going to be out for a while. So that's the only concern for Tottenham in terms of them being free scoring, you know, is without Harry Kane. You know, it does kind of change a lot. They don't have that capable deputy for me. I mean, Son is the player who I think has kind of stepped up to the mark, but Janssen's a complete waste of time for them now going forward. But look, Tottenham will win the game. And I think they win 2-0. I don't think Southampton will cause them any kind of problems. And I see this kind of being a little bit more of the Tottenham last year now. You know, because they're in a position in the league where, you know, they need to hold on to, you know, not only just the top four place, but they need to kind of... It's a bit like when they had Harry Kane absent before Christmas for a while. They went on a run where they drew a lot of matches. They weren't losing too many, but they lost a lot of ground on Chelsea because they weren't winning games. And I suspect that Pochettino will play it a bit more conservatively now without Harry Kane. I think it'll be, you know, 1-0, 2-0, get it done, get a goal by however means necessary and get the points wrapped up. And I think that's what they'll do this weekend.
Spurs to win the game, then 8-11, the draw 13-5, Southampton 9-2. Man City versus Liverpool, the big match this weekend, 4:30 kick-off at the Etihad on Sunday. Man City even money to win it, the draw 13-5 with Liverpool 14-5. Enhanced odds, Kevin De Bruyne to score, and City to win was 18-5, now 5-1. And Sadio Mane to score, and Liverpool to win was 5-1, now 6-1. Tom, Manchester City out of the Champions League, having been beaten by Monaco midweek. And defensive frailties have plagued them this season. And despite scoring six times over the two legs, still going out, it'd be a bitter disappointment for Pep Guardiola. And there are bound to be tons of changes in the summer. I think he needs a complete rethink as far as the defence is concerned. And I'm not sure Sergio Aguero will be there next year either.
Well, it's probably pretty likely that they'll try and cash in on Sergio Aguero, who, you know, by the way, this season, he's won 24 goals in 33 games. I mean, you know, for a player who supposedly doesn't fit into that style, it's very difficult to ignore somebody who's scoring the goals at the rate he is. But that's because this Man City team still create a load of chances every single match. And, you know, in midweek, they got to that point where, you know, after Sane scored, and you're thinking, right, bit of game management now. And they just had no idea what they were doing. I mean, absolutely zero idea. They could not think for themselves. They left themselves wide open, and that's just the naivety of this side. But when you think of this fixture, much like we thought, you know, about the reverse fixture this season at Anfield, we expected goals. We looked at the two teams, and it's not rocket science to think, well, they're both great going forward. There's good goal scorers, there's good attacking play. Both managers emphasise, you know, the play in the final third as opposed to defensively. Neither, you know, manager has back fours that they would ideally want in, you know, in a perfect world. So therefore, surely, you know, it's going to be attack on top, and it didn't really sort of turn out that way. I think it will in this particular game, though. You know, when you're looking at goals, particularly, you know, Man City at home, you know, five of the last six at home, they failed to keep clean sheets. Seven of Liverpool's last 11 away from home as well have seen at least three goals. I can't see this not happening this weekend. I'm still not sure about either side, whether they kind of feel they've turned a corner or not. I don't know what to make of them still. And I kind of look at them, and they're probably both going to be in the top four this season, mainly because Manchester United are focusing on the Europa League potentially, and Arsenal will not be able to turn this season around like they have done in previous years. So, you know, they're both kind of scrapping for those positions. And yeah, I can't see it. Looking at both teams' sort of recent matches, I can't see anything other than loads of goals here. And you can have your pick on the goal scorers, but, you know, over 3.5 goals at 13-8. It wouldn't surprise me if it ended up being a stalemate and we got the scoreline we thought we might get at Anfield, which is potentially a 2-2 draw at 12-1 is what I like the look of.
2-2 draw at 12-1 for Tom. Derek, what do you think of this match?
Well, both managers get all kinds of acclaim, and yet they've got a big, big fail, and neither has a clue what makes a decent keeper. I mean, but Pep Guardiola, for some reason, believes Claudio Bravo and Willy Caballero are better bets than Joe Hart, which shows he's an even worse judge of keepers than he is of bets. I mean, you know, there's any man in the... There's a million people will look at those great keepers and tell you Hart, and a million of them will say Hart is the best. Klopp, he recognised early on that Simon Mignolet was never going to be Mr. Reliability. So who does he sign? Loris Karius, Mr. Liability. I mean, how are these men so highly rated when they've got such a blind spot? You know what? This promises to be a great game because, you know, they're both great going forward. But with points so important at this stage of the season, I've got a feeling both managers will elect to play safe and take to the field without a keeper. That's how bad they are. I really don't know what to think about this because Liverpool, Jesus Christ, you put on performances like they do against Arsenal and against Tottenham and against Chelsea, and then they punctuate that with performances at Hull and Leicester, and that performance against Burnley last week, which is only 1-2-1 at Anfield. Burnley, in my eyes, were the better team. I can't back Liverpool to beat City after watching that. But it'd be just like them to turn it on and win 3-0. I mean, that's how daft they are at the moment, Liverpool. Can't back City. You know, they've been softened up by what happened in midweek at Monaco, which was a criminal performance by them, by the way. They're two goals ahead against the French league side, and they go out hell for leather to score goals.
It's how they were set up, though, wasn't it, Derek? He set up with basically four attacking midfielders. It was a weird
absolute madness. He might say that's the way I play the game. You know, that's... Not all the time. You have to make allowances. You're 2-0 up against a French league side.
Yeah.
Where's the mileage and go? I just don't understand it. But there you go. I agree with Tom here. I mean, 7-4, I think it is, for more than three goals in the match. I'm not saying it's a bet in a million, but it will do until one comes along.
Okay, that's the televised games done and dusted. Let's talk about the 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday, and we'll start with Sunderland versus Burnley. And Sunderland are 8-5 to win the game. The draw is 11-5, with Burnley 15-8. The enhanced odds: Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win was 5-2. That's now 3-1. And Andre Gray to score and Burnley to win was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 5-1. This will be the fourth time they've met this season, these two teams. And Burnley have yet to lose to Sunderland in those three meetings, winning two and drawing the other one, Derek.
Yeah, and only conceded one goal in those three matches as well. I mean, you know, we all know Burnley's away record now. They haven't won away from home all season. But if you said at the start of the season, you're not going to win one game this season away from home, which is it going to be? Well, they'll say Sunderland away, because most teams win there. I know we're nice. I'm all over them. I watched them at Liverpool last week. I thought they were sensational. I've given them a bit of a hard time, Burnley, in recent weeks, but I couldn't believe what I was watching from them. I mean, Liverpool were poor, admittedly, but Burnley was sensational, and they'll win this. You know, Sunderland have played six matches in their last six matches. The only time they've scored was that game against Palace when Palace just took a day off. And I know they played some tough teams in that spell, but they don't even look like scoring at the moment. And Burnley do. These prices are wrong. Burnley will win this convincingly.
15-8, Burnley to win the game. I won't go through Burnley's away record in the Premier League again because I do it every single podcast and it's getting tedious. But Tom, if you're backing Burnley here, that is the proviso.
I'll do it for you. 2 points from 40 from a possible 42. 9 goals in 14 away matches. But what Burnley have managed to do away from home, and it's a point that we have made a number of times, while they're not winning games away from home, they ain't losing many, are they? I mean, all their defeats since December away from home have been by a single goal. And, you know, they've had some tough away games as well in that run. But Sunderland, yeah, I mean, you know, they'll be clinging to that Palace performance. But I think that was Palace at their absolute lowest ebb. And they're on a bit of an upward trend now. But they were good against Tottenham and Liverpool, you know, the bigger teams at home where they managed to get results. So Sunderland are more than capable of getting a result against Burnley. It's Burnley's ability to score, you know, a couple of goals and not concede, because I think they need to. You know, again, to sort of win this match. I mean, the game between the two sides in the FA Cup, you know, earlier this season at the Stadium of Light, it finished all square. And I think this one will finish in the same manner. I think for Burnley, there's a bit of a mental blockage because they were the better side last week against Liverpool. And they went in front and you're thinking, well, go on then. This is your opportunity now, because it started getting very nervy at Anfield. And they just couldn't take it. They sat back and they didn't really know how to manage that situation. And I'm not saying Sunderland are a good side, because they're certainly not. But they do still have, you know, now an England international in Jermaine Defoe again, who can cause Burnley a few problems here. I think it'll be a draw. I'm not sure about the goals here. I looked initially at a draw on both teams to score at 3-1, but I think 11-5 is the draw is when I'm heading. I can't make a case for Sunderland to win, and I can't make a case for Burnley either.
On to Palace versus Watford next. Again, 3 p.m. Saturday. Crystal Palace odds on to win this game at 10-11. The draw 12-5, with Watford in the betting at 7-2. Christian Benteke to score and Palace to win was 19-10. That's now 9-4. And Troy Deeney to score and Watford to win was 6-1. That's been enhanced to 8-1. Big Sam is beginning to pull Palace clear. They're now out of the drop zone after back-to-back wins against Middlesbrough and away at West Brom. Watford without a win in three. They conceded against Southampton last week, conceded 4 against Southampton last week, and prior to that had been beaten at Old Trafford with a 1-1 draw against West Ham sandwiched in between. But Tom, the Palace deserve to be odds on?
When I looked at this one, I couldn't believe the price of Palace. I fancy Palace to win this game, but at 10-11, it makes me very, very cautious. I mean, you know, I know they've had a few victories of late and you know, back-to-back wins, and the one against West Brom in particular was pretty impressive, but that might have been more to do with how West Brom had kind of approached the 1-0 win against Middlesbrough. I'm not thinking too much about. But I think when you look at Watford, I mean, was it 2 wins in 13 in the league? I think Palace win, but they're too short for me to be back in here. And I don't know how else the game goes. I know Palace have kind of turned it around a little bit, and I know defensive, obviously, they've not conceded in the last two matches. So obviously, you know, something is working for Big Sam. I think some of the criticism he had of the players has probably sort of rung true a little bit, and they're finally sort of getting their act together. But do I want to be relying on Palace at 10-11 here? I'm not too sure. I think there'll be a few goals in the match, but you know, I don't want to back the Watford team either. I don't know. I'm looking for some value here, and I think Palace have more goals in them than Watford. That is for sure. And I think Watford, in terms of getting them over line and winning the match, I don't think they've got a chance. So I'm going to play Palace to win and both teams to score, just to give myself that little bit of value at 100-30. I'm more confident at those prices, you know, relying on Palace and a few goals in a game than backing Palace at 10-11, because this could easily be a stalemate.
I can't believe Watford are 13th in the league. I find it incredible. I just don't believe it. I think they're terrible, Derek, but I still couldn't back Palace at odds on.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Watford, I've said on this podcast before, 3 worst performances I've seen all this season have come from Watford, apart maybe from Liverpool against Burnley last week. and yet the 13th in the league, they pick up points when nobody's watching. Or I think they just had a goal to their score when nobody's watching, and they haven't been caught yet. But 7-2, you're looking for the value, Tom. There it is, writ large, 7-2, Watford to win a Palace. You see Palace at odds on, you oppose. It's a given. Why are the odds on? No reason. They won two games. Their last two games, great. But they beat Middlesbrough, who everybody beats, and West Brom, who we suspect are on the beach. You know, I want to see a little bit more evidence that, you know, they're a fighting side before they're backing my odds on. I mean, Watford are no great shakes. We know that. But it was only a few weeks ago they went to Arsenal and won 2-1. Probably the result of the season, followed up by beating Burnley. Give a decent account of themselves at Man United, by the way, and then drew with West Ham. These aren't, you know, they're not, that's not the form of Muppets. So maybe we're being a trifle unkind to Watford. Mm-hmm. They're too big, 7-2. I don't care what you think about this game. Watford is 7-2 is miles too big, and that's where my money will be.
Stoke versus Chelsea up next. Stoke are 5-1 to win the game. The draw 3-1 with Chelsea 8-13. Chelsea to win both halves is an enhancement, 11-4 out to 3-1. Marko Arnautovic to score and Stoke to win was 19-2, now 14-1. And if you think Diego Costa is going to score in a Chelsea win, that was 13-10. That's been enhanced to 6-4. Chelsea now 10 points clear, and just for good measure, they knocked Manchester United out of the FA Cup on Monday night. Showing no signs, Derek, of relenting, Chelsea. But this is a potential stumbling block for them. Stoke are unbeaten at home in their last four in the league, and Everton and Manchester United have gone to the Britannia in recent weeks and failed to win. Do you give Stoke a sniff here?
They won this fixture 1-0 last season, Stoke. They've won it twice in the last three seasons. And in that reverse fixture on New Year's Eve, Chelsea won 4-2. Stoke gave them a real scare. And you remember that game? They looked a real good side, Stoke. And in recent weeks, you know, after that 4-0 defeat by Tottenham, they really got their act together. 2-0 win over Middlesbrough, yeah, no great shakes. But that 0-0 result at City, that was fantastic. And any suspicion that they, you know, they might be doing a West Brom and taking a foot off the gas, well, you know, that knocked that one clean out the water. I still have my doubts about Chelsea. I mean, take Hazard out that team. And seriously, I mean, I'm looking at Diego Costa the last few weeks, and he's looking like a second division striker. Seriously, I've just everything I've said about that man is bearing fruit now. He looks ponderous. He looks one-paced. You look at his recent performances, very, very poor. All in all, Stoke 5-1 in my eyes are a little bit too big. You know, if Chelsea were to win this game, they're not going to take Stoke apart, Chelsea. They're not taking any team apart at the moment, are they, really, to be fair, Chelsea? They're winning because they've got a professional outlook, they're tight, they don't make many mistakes. That's probably what it is. They make fewer mistakes than anybody else. But they're not an outstanding team. They've got an outstanding player in Hazard. The rest, I don't see any that much star quality there. I think Stoke can do a number on them here. And I think, what did you say, 5-1, did you say?
Yeah, 5-1, Derek, yeah.
It's too big.
Chelsea are going to end up winning the league by 15 points and Diego Costa is going to be top goal scorer and someone's going to put a compilation together excerpts from these podcasts for the last 20, 25 weeks, and it's going to make a great clip. Tom, ponderous Diego Costa.
Second division striker Diego Costa. You know, a friend of mine, I was chatting about Chelsea this week with a mate of mine, and he said, you know what, Chelsea's season is a lot like the relationship with my girlfriend. And he's significantly better half, I might add. I said, how do you mean? He said, explain it to me. He said, you know, there was a little, you know, at the beginning it was all a little bit muddled and I was plucking up the courage to ask her out and all this stuff. And, you know, I got into, I never really sort of got the confidence up and it was a bit of a shaky start. Then there was the honeymoon period where, he kind of got agreed for her to go out with him and it was all wonderful and it was, you know, dining out all the time and just this wonderful sort of few months, a bit like Chelsea when they're winning 13, 14 games. I said, well, what's it like now? He says, well, it's like Chelsea is now. He says, it's just about sort of, well, I've got to be careful about what I say, but I haven't named him. But it's effectively like a bit of a rut, and they're just trying to get through every single week.
And they got John Terry.
Well, as soon as he started with this analogy, I started thinking, where are you heading with this one? But the point is probably rings true a little bit, that Chelsea now, they went on that incredible sort of sprint where they were just blitzing everybody and keeping clean sheets. And again, you know, they got themselves ahead. Now it is simply a case of getting over the line. And I know it's a point I've kind of made before, but I do think it affects how Chelsea will go into each and every match. You only have to look at recent results where to see that Chelsea have slipped a little bit by their standards. You know, the draw at Burnley, even conceding goals against Swansea, even conceding that late one against West Ham. I know they were never in danger against West Ham, but they still showed that little chink, you know, in terms of conceding, you know, and just letting their foot off the gas a little bit. So I look at this matchup and I look at Stoke. They've scored in the last six home games. They've got no problem scoring goals. They've scored in the last five against Chelsea. And it's five league games without a clean sheet for the league leaders. So it's not going to happen for them this weekend. I can't back against them, though. They're too good. They're far too good a side. And I don't think they'll be... I wouldn't say they won't be troubled by Stoke, because they will. But I think they get it done. And I'll be back in Chelsea and both teams to score at 14-5. I'm looking at 2-1s and 3-1s. That'll be that kind of scoreline for Chelsea.
Okay, Chelsea to win and both teams to score for Tom. Everton versus Hull at Goodison next. Everton 8-15 to win this game. The draw 3-1 with Hull in the betting at 6-1. At the enhanced odds, Ross Barkley to score and Everton to win was 11-5, now 5-2. Romelu Lukaku to score in both halves was 7-1. That's now 8-1. Everton showed that result against Tottenham at White Hart Lane was definitely a blip, Tom. They beat West Brom emphatically at Goodison last week, and they'll be expecting a similar result when Hull arrive in town, despite their obvious improvement at Hull under Marco Silva.
Yeah, do you know, a friend of mine compared Hull with his... No, I'm joking. Hull under Marco Silva, they have done well. We keep saying it. And at home, they've been incredible. I never saw it coming whatsoever, particularly with the players that we saw. They've been brilliant. But he's not managed to win a game away from home. And Hull are... you know, an up and down side in terms of results. I mean, the only thing, only two of the last 14 matches have ended all square. You know, they've drawn only two of the last 14 games. So they're a team that will either win or lose. They won't win this game. The only issue for Everton is the situation with Romelu Lukaku, because what I like about Ronald Koeman, there's lots of things I'm not that keen on, but what I do like about him, and he's made some mistakes this season in terms of things he said or I thought he had. He takes quite a hard stance this week, you know, on Lukaku. I mean, he doesn't sort of beat around the bush. He's pretty honest and open with things, you know, in terms of the media and communicating with the fans. But it's just how the Lukaku situation kind of pans out, because there are games being played, aren't there, probably by all sides in these negotiations. And without Lukaku, you know, everyone's talking about Everton being this really good side and they're on the right path and, you know, they could be top four next season with some more investment. Still, the Everton fans I speak to aren't necessarily feeling that way, because I tell you what, if the Lukaku situation doesn't end favourably for Everton, take his goals out of the team and you are looking at a bang average mid-table side, in fact, lower than mid-table side. So his importance is massive. So if he doesn't perform, you know, if he's got the hump with the club up for whatever reason, then Hull have maybe got a chance of getting a result here. But I can't base those kind of, you know, I can't base, you know, my prediction here on what mood Lukaku is when he kind of turns up. I've got to think that he's going to be professional and do what he has been doing, which has been the spearhead to this Everton attack against a Hull side who can't get it going away from home, however much they've improved. They'll make it difficult, but ultimately I still think confidence is high with Everton. So I'm going to take Everton on a handicap here. It's been clearing for them at home. In the last five home games, they've won by at least two goals, and I think they'll do exactly the same here. So Everton minus a goal, 13-10.
Yeah, good price. Everton minus one at 13-10. What do you think to Lukaku, Derek? Is he any good or not?
Well, he's in a similar vein to Costa in my eyes. I mean, you mentioned if you take him out, the team Everton will struggle. Well, the money they'll get for him, they'll get the silly money for him. And in my eyes, they can buy a better striker than Lukaku for that kind of money. You know, I mean, I fight a long battle with in this argument many times, and I always bring in, you know, I'm not going to bring it up again, but the Van Nistelrooy argument. Man United got shut of him, and everybody would have said, well, they're going to struggle without him, without his goals. They didn't. They prospered. And, you know, you need, in these days, more than goals from a striker. I used to say years ago, and get laughed at even at school, I used to say when Bob Lasker was banging them in, you need more than that from a striker. And Lukaku, in my eyes, doesn't give you more than that.
No.
So, you know, I know you two guys disagree with me, and I know I'm never going to convince yet, but I've always had that view about football. This game, I can't back against Everton. I know 8-15 is a bit short. It's not the kind of price I'd ever consider backing the Blues, but they're playing against Hull, who should be thankful for Burnley, because without Burnley, their away record would be getting blicked by now. But it's not because Burnley's his worst. It's a disgrace away from home. You know, for a team that's winning games against big opponents on home soil, it's disgraceful what they're doing on away territory. And they'll lose this one. Finished 1-1 last season, by the way, but I think Everton have improved now. Everton look a team on the up, whereas Hull, we know, are a team on the down. And yeah, Everton have beaten West Brom at Goodison recently. They've beaten Sunderland at Goodison recently. They battered Bournemouth at Goodison recently. Hull are no better than those sides, and they'll lose.
I agree with you, Derek, on Lukaku, by the way. I don't think he does. I mean, this is a guy who's been doing the business in the Premier League since 2012, that loan spell at West Brom. Why have no top clubs, elite clubs, come in for him? And I think that's the problem. In his negotiations now, I think the problem is he's got no bargaining tool, because I don't think there is a big offer that Everton would accept or that he would want. You know, I don't think there's a reason why top clubs haven't looked. This guy's goal scoring record is unbelievable over the last 5 years. But why has nobody taken a gamble on him or paid the money?
Yeah.
At 8-15, Everton to win the game. The draw 3-1. Hull in the betting at 6-1. And we finish the weekend with West Ham versus Leicester at the London Stadium. And the Hammers are 11-8 to win this game. The draw 23-10. Leicester City 11-5. Enhanced odds, Andy Carroll to score and West Ham to win. Was 13-5, now 3-1. And Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 5-1. And unbelievable turnaround for Leicester City. They've just drawn Atletico Madrid in the Champions League quarter-final stages. That draw in progress while we've been recording the podcast. Back-to-back wins in the Premier League as well. And now 3 points clear of the relegation zone. They're clearly on a high at the moment, Derek. There might be a little bit of a letdown against West Ham this weekend.
Yeah, because we've said it all season, haven't we? When before we knew, realised how bad they were going to be in the Premier League. Their form before and after Champions League games was abysmal. But this is a different Leicester now, isn't it? You know, we've seen... I said a few weeks ago on this podcast that maybe they won the Premier League last season despite Ranieri, not because of him. And I was laughed at by a lot of people. I think you two in particular. But, you know, all the rumours coming out that Ranieri didn't really have that much of an input in how they played last season. It was all mostly, you know, Craig Shakespeare's doing. You're hearing more and more of that now. And you're just wondering, you know, because I always had a downer on Ranieri after what he did at Greece. He was just diabolical. And, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm talking daftly, and I normally do. But this is a different Leicester side. It's not the Leicester that won the league, obviously. Well, actually, to be honest, it's not that far off. That performance against Seville in midweek was sensational. I'll tell you what, any big side that had been facing the task Leicester had, you know, an Arsenal, a Liverpool, a Man United, I don't think they'd have done what Leicester did. It was sensational. Followed that result against Liverpool as well on a Monday night a couple of weeks ago when they were sensational. They're too big here. They are too big. West Ham haven't won at the London Stadium for a long time now. And I think they're going to lose again here. Leicester, for me, is a big price.
Good front runners, Leicester, as well, Tom. They've won all 7 Premier League matches in which they've been leading this season. Only side yet to drop a point from a winning position. So if Leicester go ahead, they generally win.
Yeah, and West Ham are struggling as well. I mean, I thought, I don't know if either of you saw the clip of Graeme Souness this week talking about Leicester. I thought he summed it up brilliantly. And certainly what he thinks has kind of gone on in the fact that, you know, when Ranieri came in, they were doing that well. I think he had his own ideas, and then he looked at, you know, the team that had the great escape, and he thought, I don't need to change a huge amount here, and he don't think he did. But I think when they weren't pulling their socks up this season, Ranieri's upset a few people simply by telling the truth, and I think the players' egos have become that precious after winning the Premier League, they start to believe their own hype. As soon as that happens, you criticise a few players, senior players, they get the hump, and eventually we've ended up in a situation we're in where the guy's out of it, and they're kind of showing their true colours, aren't they? Well, their true form more than that. I think they'll absolutely love this game. I mean, people might talk about there being a hangover from midweek. You know, some people might look at this game and think, well, can they get themselves going? Yeah, I think they can. They still need some wins to pull themselves away. And I think they're just growing in confidence every single week. And we talk about the pitch at West Ham almost every time West Ham are at home, and it's absolutely perfect for Leicester, because all of a sudden now Slaven Bilic has to almost set up his team as if he's playing Leicester of last season. And what do they do on that pitch? Do they drop in deep and deny the space behind? Or do they push up, take the game to Leicester? Because Leicester's vulnerability still is defensively, but I don't think West Ham attacking-wise are creating enough. I know they're scoring goals, but there's no fluency in their play. Robert Snodgrass hasn't worked. One assist for him in sort of 6 or 7 games he has since he's moved. So, you know, they brought him in to kind of bring that creativity they'd lost through Payet. I know they're the players on different levels, but it's not worked. Snodgrass hasn't been able to reproduce that form. So, You know, I think West Ham are struggling a bit. They're conceding, and six of their last eight games have gone over 3.5 goals. So, you know, 3-2 defeat to Bournemouth recently, 2-2 against West Brom. There's a potential for quite a few goals in this one, but I'm with Leicester. I think Leicester is the value, and Leicester both teams score at 9-2, not bad. Mm. But also Leicester and over 2.5 goals at 16-5. Take your pick from any of those three.
Over 3.5 goals in the match, by the way, is 21-10 as well. Chaps, it's time for the naps. What's your best bet this week, Derek?
On a value point of view, it'd be Watford at 7-2, but I really like Burnley at 15-8 to win at Sunderland.
Okay, Burnley for Derek. Tom?
I'm going to go for Everton minus one.
Everton minus one is Tom's pick. I think that was 13-10, yeah. Wasn't it? Everton minus one, so I'll shove that in. I'm going to go back to the well with the Bournemouth bet. In all honesty, I like over 3.5 goals in that game.
It's a good one. I like the look of that.
I like the look of this as well. Let me just shove the over 3.5 in and get the treble price. That's 2-1 over 3.5 goals in the game. The treble comes to 18.83-1. Burnley 15-8. Everton minus 1, 13-10. Over 3.5. Bournemouth versus Swansea at 2-1. Just under 19-1. Chaps, thank you for your company.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you everyone that's tuned in and listened. Do check out all the betting on the William Hill website ahead of the Premier League this weekend. And myself, Derek and Tom will be back next weekend. If you're having a bet, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.